We are in the season of Advent. This is the time when we prepare for the coming of the Savior. Obviously, the preparation is not about all the external preparations. It is more about the inner preparation. I know that, I don't know how it is here in Hong Kong, I know that in Singapore they have some beautiful lighting during the season. In Australia, where I come from, all the malls are filled with all Christmas decorations. And all the families are running to take photographs with Santa Claus, who is busy sitting there for the next 20-30 days. And many times the preparation becomes all about the exterior. What kind of celebrations we are going to have? What kind of decorations we put up? It's the one season when we start fattening ourselves with all the sweets that we end up eating. Instead, we are called to prepare the heart. Praise the Lord.
Praise
Hallelujah.
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 When Jesus was born, one person we see who is very relevant to that time was King Herod. Not Herod Antipas, but he's called Herod the Great. Herod the Great. Yes, that was. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
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 He was called great for a reason. He was supposed to be a great builder. He's the one who built the Temple of Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 onwards, we read from 1 to 3. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews?"
当哈洛德为王时，耶稣诞生在犹大的伯冷。看，有贤士从东方来到耶路撒冷，说：才诞生的犹太人，君王在哪里？For
we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.
我们在东方见到了他的星，特来朝拜他。
When King Herod heard this, he was frightened. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
When King Herod heard this, he was frightened. Why was he frightened? This was something the people of Israel were waiting for. It is the prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 onwards, it says, "The shoot shall come forth from the stump of Jesse, who will be the Savior of Israel." But Herod is frightened. Why is Herod frightened? Why is this man scared? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Was Herod a religious man? I'm asking you a question. Was Herod a religious man? No? No? How many of you say no? All those who say Herod was not a religious man, can you raise your hands? So many say no, now nobody's raising their hands. You don't know? Praise the Lord. Herod is the one who built the temple. Now if he built the temple, that means he had at least some kind of faith. He did it, they say, to please the people. But the fact is, if he didn't have anything inside it, he wouldn't have done it. So he had some kind of a belief. A belief that made him create this beautiful, magnificent structure. It was so huge. It took 10,000 men. 10,000 men, workers, and it took 10 years to build it. The platform on which it was built was equal to 24 football fields. Till today, it is the largest man-made platform that was built in the world. Person with no faith cannot do that much. So he had something. And the Bible also tells us that he calls, the moment the wise men speak about the coming Savior, the birth of the Savior, he calls all the chief priests and the scribes, and he inquired where the Messiah was to be born. So he definitely believed all this. He was sure that this has happened. And he's not a person without faith. Then why was he frightened? What made Herod afraid? Because Herod knew once Jesus came, his throne would be shaken. Because with the coming of the Savior, there would be changes that will happen. Hallelujah.
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 With the coming of the Savior, there will be changes that will happen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
How many of you are believers? Can you raise your hands? Believers, raise your hands. Raise it with conviction. Praise the Lord. We go to church. We pray. We offer our novenas and our prayers to the Blessed Sacrament. I see a lot of Saint Michael around here. I know it is not in commemoration of this Michael. There it's in commemoration of the Archangel. So we make all these prayers. But maybe there is a Herod attitude in us. Because for Herod, with the coming of Jesus will come the truth. And the truth would have been a problem for Herod. Because the truth would have revealed what Herod was within. The truth would have challenged Herod to change his life. Now we are all people who like spirituality. We like prayers. We like the church. We like the Eucharist. But sometimes all of this can make us very comfortable. In the way we choose to understand it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I remember coming across this young girl who was asked by her parents to come for a retreat. And she kept resisting. So I kind of know her parents. So when I passed through that city, the parents asked me to come and visit the house. And they told me to meet this girl. She was in love with a non-Christian. And her parents were not happy about it. And so her parents wanted her to attend a retreat. And she kept saying, I don't want to attend the retreat. So the parents asked me to speak to her. They believe that I'll be able to convince this girl. Now I know this girl. She has been coming to the retreat center with her parents very often in the past few years. And so I met her. And I told her, your parents want you to attend a retreat. And she said yes. And I said, why are you resisting? She said, I don't feel like coming for a retreat.
I asked her,
why don't you feel? She said, I'm just not comfortable coming for a retreat. And then she started giving me a lot of excuses. Things connected to her work. Commitments that she has. And all the responsibilities that she has towards her parents as well. Her parents are pretty okay. They are healthy. But still she told me I have to take care of my parents. The parents wanted to go for the retreat. But sometimes children, when they don't want to go for the retreat, suddenly they feel like taking care of their parents. And how much ever I told her she did want to go for the retreat, ultimately I asked her, tell me what the truth is. And then she told me, I will come for the retreat in only one condition. After coming back from the retreat, no one should speak to me anything about changing my mind about the boy I want to get married. So I asked her, what are you afraid of at the retreat? She said, I'm afraid that Jesus will make me change my mind. So because I don't want to change my mind, I don't want to come into the presence of God. So does she pray? She does pray. Does she go to church? She does go to church. Does she offer her rosaries and her novenas? She does that. But according to how comfortable it is for her. But the moment she understood that when she permits Jesus within, he might make her change the way she has understood Jesus. Immediately she's frightened of Jesus. Jesus can be challenging to us when we want to live the faith according to the way we understand. You can read the Bible and you can find a lot of comfort from it. But the Bible is not meant only for comfort. It is also meant to convict us. It is meant to transform us. It is meant to change us. But when I don't want to change, I will always pick and choose what I want to read from here. You know the words that say, you will be blessed and your family will be blessed. That is why those who love to drink, one of their most favorite incidents of the Bible will be Jesus changing the water into wine. On the day when you have in the church the reading that says Jesus changes water into wine at the wedding at Cana, all those people who love to drink, on that day during the gospel passage you'll see big smiles. Because that is what makes them happy. I don't want anything that challenges my faith. If at any point Jesus is going to challenge my faith, I don't give up my religion. I don't give up going to church. I will just restrict his entry point. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I told you, me, myself and Jude, we come from Australia. It's very, nice to see how they approach faith. I went for a retreat to one of our nearby parishes, just near the retreat center. It was a 3-day retreat. Not a 3-day, it's basically a 3-evening retreat. So on the first day I give one talk and then we have an adoration and a mass. Something like what we did yesterday night. And we would have it for 3 days. It's all Australians. And the first day I spoke about God's love and faith. And there was a lot of jokes inside it. It was very entertaining. And the words spread around. Everyone went and told the other parishioners, there's a priest who's come and he's speaking about such wonderful things and he's speaking so well and he's giving a lot of jokes. And I could see it during the talk. Everyone was so happy after the session. So I patted myself, very proud of my achievement. Oh, you won't understand that. Because you should be in Australia to understand that. It's very hard to please those people. They cannot imagine sitting in a church for more than 45 to 1 hour. 45 minutes to 1 hour. And I gave a session for 2.5 hours. And I was so happy. That the people were happy also. The next day, I gave my second talk. It was about sin. I spoke about sin. And I could see the smiles were not there anymore. And there were people who were so disturbed sitting on that seat all the time, moving left and right. And as the talk kept going on, after some time I saw one, two, getting up, going off. After the session got over, not many people came and greeted me. Nobody came and told me what they told me the day before. Oh, Father, it was a wonderful talk. You could see how uncomfortable they were. And the parish priest over there, a wonderful Polish priest, he told me, Father, that was a hard talk. Very difficult for people to accept. And the impact of it, was seen on the third day of the retreat. Again, some people were missing. Because it made me uncomfortable. When something makes me uncomfortable, when Jesus makes me uncomfortable, I will restrict his entry into my life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You and I can so easily be Christians like this. We don't like Jesus opening out certain areas of our life that we have to change. We feel good coming to church. We feel that we've completed our obligation. You can sit here for these 4 days of retreat. And you can think to yourself, it's a big sacrifice me coming here for these 4 days. To listen to talks like this when it's so boring and it's in the afternoon. And rather go and sleep on a weekend. Do you sleep on the weekend? In Hong Kong, you barely sleep, don't you? Praise God. You sleep only during the sessions. Praise the Lord. This is why the Lord said, come to me, all of you who are weary, I will give you rest. That is why in all our retreat centers, we have that verse as the theme and the motto of our retreat center. Many come and they get rest there. Praise the Lord. So it could have been, you can think to yourself that over the weekend I could have spent it in so many other ways. But I've come here for these 4 days of retreat. And then you can have this very feel good factor. Oh, I did my annual retreat. I completed a kind of obligation. I felt comfortable and good. But if this does not change our life, if it doesn't challenge you, if it doesn't convict you, if it doesn't change you, that means at some point we are not giving Jesus the authority to convict us of the areas we needed to change. And that is what happened with Herod. Herod was afraid of the truth about himself. About how much he needed to change. So for him, Jesus was frightening. Because Jesus would reveal the truth about him. That is what the scripture says. In John chapter 8 verse 32. The truth will set you free. John chapter 8 verse 32. Praise the Lord. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. That's verse 31 and 32. And those who the Lord sets free will be free indeed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Why is Jesus the truth? Because he reveals the truth about the state of our heart. He reveals the truth of what we are becoming. what kind of people we are. Sometimes we can live in the illusion that we are religious and we are holy. I got ordained 10 years ago. The two of us got ordained 10 years ago. Is he okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. So we got ordained 10 years ago. We were consecrated with oil on our hand, on our forehead. And we were consecrated, offered up for God. And I was made a priest. And now I'm a holy man. From that day onwards, I'm a holy man. Why? Because every day I've celebrated the Eucharist. Every day I pray. Every day I come into the presence of the Lord and I pray my daily prayers. I spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I'm a holy man. Praise God.
Praise God.
I can be so deceived that because I'm doing these things, I'm okay. When I do these things, my life is pretty okay and fine. When the collection box comes around and you feel very holy that day, one more Hong Kong dollar will go inside. Done something extra. Or you gave in charity. And you feel to yourself, I've done my responsibility. The truth that Jesus brings is not about what we do. It's not about the big constructions of spirituality like Herod did the construction of a temple. But it is the truth of the state of the heart. And when we stand in front of Christ, the truth about us will be revealed. When Christ stands in front of us, the truth about us will be revealed. And sometimes, especially when we are religious, inverted commas, it's very hard to accept that truth. Herod did not want to accept that truth. He didn't want to know the truth about himself. He was frightened of the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, out of all of you here, I've done ministry here in Hong Kong. I've come 3-4 times now. This is my fourth time, I think. Many of you have seen me, and I've seen you before. And you look at me, and I love one thing in Hong Kong is especially in Southeast Asia, you have these wonderful smiles. It makes me feel good about myself. And I'm actually not afraid of you. Because you don't know much about me. Now, the musician Jude, he knows some things about me. He's been to a few places where we have done retreat, and he's been a part of our retreat center. But still, he doesn't know everything about me. I'm not even afraid of him. But you know this man sitting there? I'm afraid of him. because he knows me very well. He knows literally nearly everything connected to me. And worse still, I made my confession to him yesterday. So he knows everything. You can stand in front of me and you can say, Father, I just need to touch the hem of your garment and I will be healed. It's just a joke, it won't happen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you might think that there is holiness here. I can sit in your midst and believe that there is holiness here. And live in an illusion that I'm holy. But I know as long as he's there. You might stand in front and say, what a holy priest you are, Father. And he might stand next to me. And I will still be aware. He knows what I am. Are we able to stand in front of Jesus like that? You are frightened of God like Herod is frightened of God when you know what the truth will reveal about you. When the truth reveals what you are, that is when you are set.
当你能够显露你整个真相出来的时候，那阵时就是你真正自由。
Otherwise, our lives become a lie.
即是说，我的人生都是一连串的谎言。
And we live in the darkness, thinking that we are in the light.
我们生活在黑暗中，仲以为自己活在光明里。
That is why we would read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true.
但仍在黑暗中行走，我们就是说谎，不履行真理。
Praise the Lord. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we were walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true.
再说，如果我们说我们与他相通，但仍在黑暗中行走，我们就是说谎，不履行真理。
Sometimes we like living in the darkness. We don't like going into the light. We don't like coming into the truth. You know, if you tell a lie once, you know it's a lie. When you tell the lie the second time, you still know it's a lie. Tell the lie 10 times, and slowly even you who started the lie will start believing it's true.
慢慢你甚至连自己都开始相信这个自己知道系大话咧，系真嘅。Because
you're convincing yourself with every time you say the lie that that lie is now the truth.
因为你每次用呢个方话，好似就一次又一次说服紧自己知道呢个方话系真嘅。And
then sometimes we like living in that lie.
有时我哋就喜欢活于呢一个方话里面。And
on top of that lie, you build another lie.
在这个方法上面又再同一个大话一个大话。
That is when we are not allowing the truth to set us free.
但我们不容许真理释放我们自由。
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 I remember this person that I know. Her marriage is at the point of the divorce. She made a mistake in her marriage. She had a relationship with another man. Her husband came to know about it. Actually, in a way, she herself told her husband about it. And her husband could not accept it. So she had made a retreat. When she realized that she's committing that sin. And so she told her husband about it. Her husband could not accept the fact that his wife had a relationship with someone else. So he abandoned her. She has children. He never showed her the children anymore. And she was all by herself. And now the court case is going on. Because he wants a divorce from her. Now she doesn't want to give a divorce. Now what they told her in the court was, the lawyers told her, if you do want to get any kind of support from your husband, the financial support, what do you call it? Alimony, right, yes. So if you want to get that financial support, you cannot accept that you committed adultery. And so in the court, she said, I never committed adultery. And she's continuing with that. Now in between, she would keep telling me, she would keep sending messages concerning one problem or the other in connection to her family. And she would always ask me, why is God not intervening? Why is God not doing anything? So when I met her, I kind of asked her the situation. And that is when she told me, in the court, I've told that I've not committed adultery. So I told her, isn't that a lie? And she said, yes, that's a lie, but Jesus understands. And then she told me, when first I told the truth to my husband, Jesus never protected my marriage that time. Now if I say the truth again, then most probably that man with whom I had a relationship, his marriage will break up. My children will be put to shame. I will be put to shame. So I will continue to say that lie. And I told her, if you continue to say that lie, he who is the truth, don't expect him to stand by your side. Because your God will not stand beside a lie. When we say that Jesus will understand, basically we are asking Jesus to change his nature. Because I want to continue in the lie that I'm living in, so let God change his nature for me. When I bribe someone, when I try to push in a bit of money, like a person who was doing business told me once, Father, you can speak like this on a stage. You can speak like this in the church. But it is impossible to run a business in honesty. It is impossible to run a business in honesty. And that is why a lawyer would say, it is impossible to fight a case with honesty. That is why today hospitals will say, it is impossible to give treatment with honesty. That is why we would say, it is impossible to get my medical insurance if I have honesty. That is why the priest will say, it is impossible to preach in honesty because people won't come to church. I'm not joking. There are many places in Western countries today where they don't speak the truth about sin because people like to hear jokes. People like to hear about McDonald's. People like to hear about, like we were talking, about football teams. No one wants to hear the truth. When I went to Germany, I just gave a simple teaching about the Ten Commandments. And after the talk, people came and told me, Father, we have never heard this before. Not that the talk was very great. They said, no one talks about the commandments anymore. Keep the people happy. Then they will be in church. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And then when I pass the collection box,
if
they are angry, I know nothing's going to come inside. Who's going to put anything inside if I say, you have committed a sin? Look and say, how dare you? Then I'm taking back. Just look at how our world is today. We can't live in honesty. We can't speak to the other in honesty. We are living a lie. Every country is interested in the other. Why? Because there is a lie behind it. Do you think the US is very interested in the good of Afghanistan or the good of Syria? There is some way a dishonesty behind it. We all have suddenly, this world suddenly is now living in a lie. And that is why for the world it's important to get rid of Jesus. Because if Jesus is there, the truth comes forth. So get rid of the truth. We're all Herods in some way or the other. We're afraid of the truth. In Australia today, we are now debating about same-sex marriage. And there is, in the media, you will see that one set of people who are hit out very badly is the church. Because the church is the sole voice against same-sex marriage. Every day in the morning when I put on the television, they will always bring up something in connection to same-sex marriage or about pro-abortion. And then there will always be anti-church words. Why? Because once Jesus comes forth, the truth comes forth. And the truth then disturbs their way of life. That is why Herod was upset. Herod had a way of life. Herod had a way of spirituality. But that was his own understanding and interpretation of it. Like in the television I saw once, a lady politician in Australia, she was speaking and she was saying that I do have faith, I do have belief, and the person who was interviewing her asked her which is the best or which is the most impactful verse from the scriptures. And she said, I love the words of Jesus that say, love your brother as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a wonderful verse. But it is selective choice. Because before that, in that same verse, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But I like something that everyone is okay with. I choose something that I'm okay with. So what happened to the love of God? What happened to loving God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, where Jesus tells me the truth about myself and he teaches me what the truth is, the difference between evil and good?
Praise
God. I shall repeat that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what is the use of accepting, let's put it this way, what is the use of accepting a half-truth? What makes me comfortable? Loving my neighbor makes me comfortable. It doesn't harm me much, it doesn't disturb me much. If a poor person comes in front of me and puts out their hand and I take my $10 and I put it into their hand, it doesn't disturb my conscience much. I can still live my brand of Christianity. Because I have neglected the first part of what Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Because if you have to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, that means you have to permit Jesus to change
you.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Sometimes we end up living in that darkness and enjoying that darkness, and that's a very sad, sad state for humanity. We have a very diluted version of faith and Christianity today. That is why Pope John Paul II, the patron of this center, would say, we have lost the sense of sin. We don't know what sin is anymore. How sad, because now the next generation will not know it at all. They will not know what is right, what is wrong. We are living in a confused world. Because we don't want the truth to speak to us. Like a person once I met in the jail in one of the cities in India. It's a prison. I've been there around 3 or 4 times to celebrate the Eucharist. And I went into the jail, into that prison, and I saw, I met a lot of these people. I met a person over there who was already there for 3 years. And he would walk around very happy. Like he knew the place, like it was his own house. And he walked around with that confidence. The second time I went there, I met him again. And many times the prison guards make him do most of the responsible work because he knows the place very well. I went there the third time. And when I went there, he came to me. And he said, Father, please pray for me. And I told him, I'll pray that you will definitely, the Lord will bless you, you will be happy with your family outside. And he told me, Father, don't pray like that. I asked why. He told me, Father, I just got news that I will be released very soon. And he said, I don't want to go out. I'm happy here. His story is sad. His family has abandoned him outside. He said, in this prison, I have a roof over my head. Outside, I don't have a home. I don't have a job. Here, I do little jobs and every day they give us a bit of money. He said, I get nice meals every day. I'm happy here. I'm in prison, yet I'm happy. I can be in the prison of my sin, and yet I can be happy. I can be in the lie of my spirituality and my faith, and I can still be happy. Because this kind of a faith makes me comfortable. So I don't want to go forth. I don't want to go out. I don't want Jesus to open the door of the truth of my heart. Because then it's challenging. Praise Lord. Herod never wanted to do that. He didn't want a challenge because he didn't want a change. And that is why we would read, when Herod speaks to the 3 wise men, initially when he speaks to the Pharisees and the scribes, the word tells us in verse 4 of Matthew 2, Matthew chapter 2 verse 4. Matthew 2 chapter 2 verse 4. And calling together the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. He inquired of them. He asked them. Praise the Lord. Now we read later on, the word tells us in verse 7. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. Go and search for the child. He inquired of the Pharisees and the scribes, but not once did he go to seek. He was not a seeker of truth. He didn't want to seek truth. He wanted it in a nice, comfortable passage or a little capsule for him to swallow. You know why things are put into a capsule, right? Do you know what a capsule is? You have medicines here?
Yes.
No? You don't need medicines?
Yes.
Oh, we eat over there for breakfast, lunch, dinner, everything. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you know the capsule, right? You know why things are put into the capsule?
Yeah,
it's bitter. So if you put it in the capsule, you don't get the taste at all. Smoothly goes inside. Comfortably goes inside. Without any bitterness, it goes inside. Sometimes that is how we like spirituality also. I don't want to seek. Because when I'm a seeker, it can be very bitter. Because it will reveal the truth about what I am. And the process of seeking is a process of purification. You know what I love in our youth retreats? In India, we have our international youth retreat, and I used to love that experience. Last time we had the touch retreat, last time I think I came 2 years ago? 2 years ago. And I remember I had a wonderful experience. How many youth did we have during that time? 400 or 500, yeah. Okay, around that much. And after the first day of the retreat, I was telling Father Joseph this yesterday. On the first day of the retreat, it was a wonderful hall. Nice cushioned seats.
舒適的座椅.
I hate cushioned seats for the retreatants.
最真微靜的時候,人坐得那麼舒適的.
Because some of them actually came in.
那些沙發椅,有些人進來.
They sat there.
坐下,
put up their legs.
放你的,
cozy up their heads.
然後擺好自己的頭,
and they started sleeping.
然後自己的就開始睡了.
From the first minute of the talk.
第一分鐘開始就開始睡了.
You know, it's like the helicopter going on top. If it is an airplane, you know, it has a runway. At least some time is there. So after the first session, I went back to the room. And I was thinking to myself, oh Lord, can I pack my bags and run away? I've never been so scared. Seeing that set of children over there. But as we went through the retreat, and bless those young boys and volunteers and the touch group and sister and the group over here. The retreat was so filled with the Blessed Sacrament. The adoration was going on all time long. And I would see these young boys and girls, the volunteers, whenever they would pass the Blessed Sacrament, which was backstage, they would not just bow and go, they would kneel, and for at least around 10 to 15 seconds they would be in prayer. And then they would pass to the other side. We had a beautiful retreat. And at the end of that retreat, I know they asked an announcement, and they said, all those who would like to make a commitment, come forward. And other than around only 10 of them or so, all the others came onto the stage. During the adoration, you could see them in tears. One thing I understood, they were seekers. I don't know where they are now. But I know one thing, the seed the Lord has already put in their heart. Because they were ready to swallow the bitter pill of the truth. And I'm very sorry to tell you. Sometimes it's easier for those who have no faith, or there are people who have no faith who are braver to swallow that bitter pill and seek than those of us who come to church very regularly. We who come to church regularly are used to capsules. What's comfortable to swallow? Maybe at one time you were like these youth. Where you had no God at all in you. And that day you were brave enough to swallow the bitter pill. Of the truth. You let the truth stand in front of you. And you opened the doors of your heart, not the compartments, but the doors of your heart. To the bitter truth that Christ gave
you.
That was the day you were saved. But after that, we started getting used to, we matured to capsules. And now we are comfortable only with capsules. We are not ready to be seekers anymore. Because in our mind, we have already seek and we have found. A Christian better seek every day. A Christian better let the truth of Christ be in front of them every day. Or be it Father Joseph, Father Michael, Father, or any priest, or be it you, we will live in an illusion. That I'm good and I'm okay. And then we bend the rules. That is why initially when I hear about forgiveness, I know I have to forgive. But after a few years of attending retreats, I justify my unforgiveness. When I have unforgiveness, it is okay. When someone else has unforgiveness, that is bad. That is because now I've bent the rules of Christ. And I'm comfortable now. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. That is why the scripture tells us, Psalm 15, Psalm 15 verse 1 to 5, Psalm 15 verse 1 to 5. Have I overshot my time? I'm supposed to stop, right? Yes, but they told me that I'm not a holy priest. Psalm 15 verse 1 to 5 says,
上主谁能在你的帐幕里居住? 上主,
so who may dwell in the holy hill? Who will abide in the tent of God? Now this is the one who is going to abide in the tent of God. Can you read from verse 2? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart. Those who do not slander with their tongue. Those who do no evil to their friends. those not take up a reproach against their neighbors. In whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord. So the one who will abide in Christ, who will live in the heart of Christ, is the one who speaks the truth and understands the truth. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 16.
使我们不再做小孩子，为各种教义之风所飘荡、所卷去，而中了人的阴谋，陷于引入荒谬的诡计，反而在爱德中持守真理，在各方面长进，而归于那为元首的基督。
But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head in Christ. We must grow up in every way possible. Only if you and I are open to the truth of Christ will we ever grow up. We read once again in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. Remind them, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words.
你要提醒人这些事，在天主前恳切劝诫他们，不要在言辞上争辩。
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth.
你要努力在天主前显示自己是经得起考验的，是无愧的工人，正确地讲授真理之言。
Avoid profane chatter, for it will lead people into more and more impiety. And their talk will spread like gangrene. One who lives in the word of truth, the revelation of the truth within us, if we genuinely seek it, there will be a complete change within our heart. Praise Lord. That's not Bible, that's my sin. Praise Lord.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The one who lives in the truth will have a complete change within the heart. That should be seen in our lives. That is when you are open to the truth of Christ. That is what was lacking in Herod. And ultimately, what did Herod end up doing? When he couldn't find Christ, he destroyed everything around him. Everything around him. And that is why we would even read, the Bible tells us, not only was Herod frightened, you know who else was frightened? All Jerusalem was frightened. A person who doesn't seek the truth of Christ will destroy everything around them as well. And he killed all those children to become inhuman, so unlike God. Sometimes it's scary. Because if you look at our world today, we talk about love and we talk about goodness. But somewhere the presence of God seems to be missing within our own hearts. We have stopped resembling Christ. We were meant to be in the image and likeness of God.
我哋本来就应该系超自佢嘅望嘅。
But there is no godliness in us anymore.
但你睇我哋人里边已经冇咗呢个天主性。
We have created a new religion of just goodness.
我哋自己创立一个嘅自己觉得系美善嘅宗教信仰。
But no godliness.
不过冇呢个天主喺里边。
Goodness.
但系冇
holiness.
冇神圣嘅。
That is why everyone says nowadays it's enough to be good.
所以今日啲人都话，诶，你做得好已经好好噶啦。
But like one of our priests said, the kingdom of God is not meant for the good. It is meant for the holy. It's not enough that we just be good. We have to be holy. Because that is when we start reflecting God. You can be an atheist or a non-believer, you know, a person who doesn't believe in God itself. And you can still be good. That doesn't mean you're holy. A Christian has to desire holiness. You have to thirst for holiness. And if you have to thirst for holiness, you have to let the truth stand in front of you. To be open to what you are at this state. The deception in you. The insincerity in you. The dishonesty in you. We have to be open to it. Only then will we ever change. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.